Oh, that's for us.
Yeah. Hello, ladies. Thank y'all for coming to this here workshop. My name is Corey Taylor. I'm a member here at Grace Baptist Church, and we got the blessing and privilege of sitting up here next to my best friend of over 20 years. I'll let her introduce herself. But,
I'm Kenya McKinnon, also a member here at Grace Baptist.
So we will pray before we really start off. I wanted to kind of give you guys an overview of what we intended for this workshop. So as I said, we've been friends for over 20 years. And when we approached this subject of friendship and we were asked to do the workshop, we wanted to try to think about it from, how God has worked in our lives and different milestones in our lives and what God was doing at different points. And so hopefully it's helpful to you ladies, anybody of all ages, whether you have friends right now, whether you're looking to cultivate friendships. And so we took an approach of journey lining. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with journey lining, but it's something that I had done several times in my career, my professional career. And the concept of journey lining is you plot along your journey line, along a timeline, highs and lows, milestones in your life. And you can look back on them and think about what you were wrestling with at that time. And we thought that would be a good way for us to talk about our friendship. So as we go through our journey line, Kenya will give her perspective on different plots along our journey of our friendship. I'll give mine, and then we'll also share what we think God was doing in our lives at that point and what he was trying to teach us. And then we'll wrap it up with some practical takeaways. What I would like to ask you guys to do as we're going through the journey line is feel free to interject. Feel free to probe. Feel free to ask questions. Feel free to give your own perspective because we are not professional lecturers or workshoppers. So we would love to have your help as we go through this. Anything I missed, friend?
Nope.
Okay. So will you lead us in a word of prayer as we start?
Yes.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this time where we can consider the topic of friendship. And we thank you, Lord, for this privilege to give testimony to your faithfulness and your grace and mercy you've shown unto us. And we ask that all that will be said would bring you glory, and that this will help us all, Lord, to have friendships that honor you and that are long-lasting and deep. And we just ask that you would give us mercy and be gracious unto us in this hour. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. So as I stated, Kenya and I met. No, wait. I got to give a couple of disclaimers. I, if you did not notice, I'm the one that's not shy about getting up and speaking. She might be a little bit more shy than me, but definitely wise and a faithful friend. We've been known each other since ninth grade, so yeah. She's very good with details. She remembers dates and all that great stuff. I just remember emotions because I'm an emotional person. And so we really compliment one another well. So I'm going to probably mess up on like when we met and what classroom it was in, but I'm going to nail the emotional stuff. So we will be one another's yin and yang throughout this. But the first plot there is when we met, which I know was in ninth grade of high school. We were neither of us were professing Christians at the time. We grew up not far from one another, but we didn't know that. And then anything you got to say on the what we met?
So it was 1997.
Thank you.
We met in biology class, and I think we were assigned to be in the same group. Instantly, there were a whole lot more differences, as she said, than similarities. And I'm trying to think. Some of the differences were Corey was very athletic and played basketball and very outgoing and friendly, and I was very shy, quiet, not athletic. And so I was much more prone to be afraid, and Corey was like, oh, let's do it, let's go. And so, we were very different. But one thing to note was challenging each other, that was commonplace in our friendship. And often I would come to Corey with something that I thought she would be on my side, and she would instantly make me face myself and ask, well, what about you? And kind of talk me through that. And I remember when she first would do that, I'm like, wait, aren't you supposed to be on my side? But that became like a commonplace in our friendship, just challenging each other. And
I think that's a good point. We talked about that when we were prepping, how I think I've only in my life ever had one friend at a time. Maybe just because that's all it could take me. But when, you know, we talked about that when we were prepping, how she would say, you know, I distinctly remember at that phase of our friendship that she would often challenge me. And I thought about, again, thinking about what God was showing us. I wasn't a Christian at the time, neither was she. But for any parents out there, when you're thinking about your children and how you're guiding them and giving them instruction about the friends that they keep and how they manage their friendships, I distinctly just remember a lot of stuff I was telling her was stuff that my parents were telling me. And so, you know, a lot of the ways that I was challenging her were ways that my parents was challenging me. And so I would say to friends who are sitting out, you know, out there, and also parents, to remember those things and don't hesitate to challenge your children and encourage them about the types of friends they should keep and the types of questions they should be asking people who they're spending their time with, because that was just God's grace in our lives at that young age. So. And then shortly after that, we started attending the same church. I have been at this church since I was four, so it's really almost the only church I ever know. And Kenya was going to church with her family in the city at the time. And I'm not sure what, other than me nagging you and us wanting to spend a lot of time with each other, made you start coming here. But.
So I shared with you that I had wrote a letter to my pastor at the time expressing some concerns of the lack of biblical preaching. And as soon as I shared that, Corey instantly was like, well, you should come to church with us. And this was the first time I came to Grace was junior year. And I still was definitely unconverted at the time, but I was excited to feel fed by the word when I came. And I think I would come occasionally, but by senior year, I would go to church with my family in the morning, and in the evenings, I would come to church with the Green family. And it was just a great time.
I think when we think about kind of just high school in general, I think that phase, and there's something else we talked about, was we spent a lot of time getting to know one another, and I think it's probably a little bit different in the age of like Facebook and Instagram and things like that to have friends that you spend a lot of face time with, but for us, we were attached to the phone. I would come home from basketball practice, whatever it was, we'd eat as a family, and then pretty much get on the phone with Kenya until I fell asleep at like 10, 11 o'clock at night. I couldn't tell you what we were talking about, but we spent a lot of time on the phone. We also spent a lot of time around one another's families, and I think that really helped us deepen our friendship. I think, you know, pretty early on in, like, those high school years, we were dealing with just there for each other, and I think that was another thing. It's like sometimes in order to cultivate friendship, it takes time to be around one another, and so we took time earlier on in our friendship to invest in one another and the things that, you know, were important to each one of us. So high school was good. It was all good days. Then we get to college. Did I miss anything about high school before we
did? Well, just one thing I wanted to note before college. I really treasure the time that I spent in the Green household. Corey's parents were the first Christian marriage that I saw. It was the first time that I was a part. Sometimes when I would spend the night, I was a part of like family devotion. And those, I just wanted to note that was a very special time for me.
Right on. Then we went to college together. We did not necessarily intentionally choose to go to the same college, but again, that was another thing that the Lord worked out. I had a scholarship that gave me a couple of options for schools in the state to attend. I thought that I would go all the way up to Houghton, Michigan to go to Michigan Tech, and that was just the rebel in me. I wanted to do something different, and thank God he didn't send me all the way up to Houghton. Kenya, you just knew you wanted to go to Michigan, or?
I don't really remember,
but we
both ended up there.
and our first even days at college. So we were kind of late getting registered for our dorm, and so we actually ended up being overflow residents. So we had to actually make up our rooms. We're in like some of the conference rooms in the dormitory. And we still hadn't decided whether or not we wanted to room together. But again, God is good because He gave us a little dry run. And during that dry run, we knew we could not be roommates. it was next level stuff. And I mean, it was just really just again being around one another on a day to day basis. But our parents and other people around us were telling us, "Y'all don't want to be roommates." And we were very close to still being roommates. And thank God we decided not to be roommates. That sounds terrible, but we did like each other. And then I think even just jump in if I'm missing something from the Michigan stuff, because then I was going to jump into kind of how we really had hit some rocky roads when we got into freshman year.
No, I think you covered most of it. We were still at first still pretty inseparable. We had all the same classes and studied together and kept each other on track.
We did.
And then...
Then what happened? I think honestly, and this is something I think I saved for later, but really, if I had to think about it now, I think we almost put our friendship on too much of a pedestal. It was almost idolatry, I think. We were inseparable. And then all of a sudden, as you know, different priorities started coming and new friends started coming and, you know, classwork started coming, we started to separate. We found ourselves that we had different interests. And to be perfectly honest with you, I went down a very wayward path. I was the prodigal daughter, friend, whatever you would like to call it. But I was living in sin in college. And Kenya, I would say, in the first couple of years, freshman year, even though she wasn't a professing Christian, she was a true friend, and that she wasn't going to tell me that my sin was okay. And that's something else I would say for just trying to be a friend to someone. I think we know the world has it twisted, but when they talk about friendship, they assume that your friend is always just going to go along with you under the guise of "I love you no matter what," unconditional love. But I think that even though these were dark days for us and we were very much living on very opposite ends of the spectrum, that's one thing I never questioned. I knew she loved me, but I also knew that in her love for me, she wasn't going to tell me that my sin was okay. So, what else?
I agree with that.
She's the quiet one, but she don't hold no punches when it comes to that. And you know, we had different friends at the time, and they were pulling us in different directions. And again, it wasn't necessarily that, you know, you were perfect and I was terrible. I was just terrible, and you were a little bit less terrible. Fair.
Wow. This is recorded. No, agree. Corey didn't agree with my choice of friends, rightfully so, and warned me. And whereas before in high school I would have heeded her advice, I didn't. And it put a lot of strain on our friendship freshman year. And by the time sophomore year came, she now had friends that I didn't agree with, and we just plummeted. And really our friendship just deteriorated from there.
Yeah. We were very much just friends on the surface, I think, because we were still coming to church. It was interesting because Michigan isn't far from here, so our parents would still pick us up, or people from the church would still pick us up and bring us to church on Sunday, and it was very much just a show, right? It was just a show of the friendship, a show of pretending to be Christians and things like that. But I was living in the far country, and even, I don't know if that was before you were baptized, Kenya, but I also remember feeling like, knowing that Kenya wasn't going to accept my sin and tell me my sin was okay, but she also did things to kind of use discretion and be wise about who she would share with, right? I think there were certain things she knew she could not share with my parents because it would just probably drive them crazy. But she also sent others to try to minister to me. She has a good friend of her family. Her name is Carletta, who Carletta didn't know me very well, but Carletta and I have similar personalities. And so Kenya knew at that point that I wasn't listening to her. And she actually had Carletta come up, and Carletta surprised me, took me out for a whole day, and in a very Carletta way, set me straight, or tried to set me straight. And that was those are all things that God was doing to start to draw me to himself. And he used my friend to do that. So. What else?
Are we at the Kenya baptized first? Yes. Okay. Okay, so as she described, it was very devastating that now we had been close friends all this time and now we weren't close friends anymore. The turning point for me happened on October 24th of 2002 when a close aunt of mine died. And so I was in the midst of experiencing this loss of my friend, and now I was experiencing this loss of a close family member. And I just remember being very, very depressed. And as Corey said, we were still coming here to the church. And in God's providence, Pastor Cook was preaching through the book of Mark. And it was the first time that I had heard a sound gospel preaching. And I just remember God really using those sermons to draw me to himself. There was just a couple of sermons that really stood out. One was the rich young ruler who wouldn't sell all that he had to follow Christ. And for the first time, I could say, wow, that's me. I had such a grasp on earthly things, my friendship with Corey, my family, that and these things that I had lost, I was so consumed with that. And I began to pray and ask God to give me a desire for him that would be greater than my desire for these other things. And he did that. He answered that prayer. The second sermon that stands out is when Pastor preached on Mark 8:34. If anyone would follow me, he should deny himself, pick up the cross, and follow me. And I think that is when Christ saved me. I'm not sure, but I know that after that sermon, I really was counting the cost. And God, my life just changed drastically. I stopped focusing so much on not having Corey in my life, and I started to be concerned about her soul more and began to pray more for her in that regard.
Yeah, and I think about that, and it still hurts me to this day that those days, those months in her life are just a blur to me because I was just out, living a totally different life, and I wasn't there to share in those times, and that's still a tough reminder for me. But I bless God because while I was out, she was there and she was close to him and praying for me. And I do remember that. I remember when she got baptized, still being out in the far country, still knowing when I would think of Kenya, like, okay, I know I can't, she's not going to tolerate my sin and let me live it in her faith, but she will be praying for me. I know she's praying for me. And I, not only do I know she's praying for me, but I know that if I come back, she's going to be right there waiting for me with open arms. And that was a very comforting thought. So we had been friends on the surface for a while, but I knew my friend loved me and I knew my friend was praying for me. And then it was around 2006 when I think the Lord started working on my heart. I actually used to remember the exact date, but it was in July when Pastor was preaching on the broad and narrow gate. And that is the day, that was my Jesus experience. I mean, he met me where I was, and I couldn't leave this building without turning over my life to him. Anything you have for that? You were thrilled. But it's interesting, though, because even though, and I have been living such a double life, that I didn't think that right away I can go and tell my parents, because they didn't really know all the stuff that was going on in my life. And so, interestingly enough, when I knew that I was a Christian, when I knew that Jesus had come into my life, then I started thinking, like, okay, who can I talk to about this? And the first name was Kenya's name. And it was such a delight. It was such a blessing to have somebody who I can go to and share some of those details that nobody else knows. Like, hey, how can I deal with this? Or what do you think about this? Or I read this scripture. What does that mean? And it was her. And you know, that not only was that God bringing us back to you know, our friendship, but he was drawing me to himself through my friend in a way that no one else was able to minister to me. So, again, having that intimate friendship where you can be transparent and honest and they can know those things about you is beneficial, and it really served well when the Lord was working on my heart.
Yeah, and of course, that answer to prayer increased my faith. It was a great encouragement for me, and I really was excited that Corey came to Christ.
Yeah, to the point that she called me out, and so we have our Thanksgiving prayer meeting, and again, I hadn't made any public confession of faith. I hadn't said anything to my parents or anything like that, and so everybody goes around if you want to, and you say what you're thankful for, and she said, you know, I'm thankful that the Lord is, you know, working on my best friend's heart. And I could have, like, fell on the floor at that point. I was like, oh, goodness, I didn't tell anybody else this. But there it is. Shortly after that, I was baptized. but it helps. I mean, it just goes to show you. And the thing that I think about in our friendship is there are definitely ups and downs. But there have been so many times where you would think, okay, you know, Corey's the loud one in the room, so she's always the one that's pulling and tugging and strong. But that doesn't mean that she's not strong, and she's not strong for me. And that, you know, the Lord just has really used us in one another's lives to really balance one another out. And there were just so many times that in her quiet, gentle, loving spirit, she was in the background praying relentlessly for her friend. So, what else? Then came the men. We were so baptized, both Christians, you probably more aggressively than me, praying and really seeking the Lord for husbands.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I think it was 2009 that the guys showed up at the church steps here, and it was great, you know.
Don't tell the truth. Well, actually, there were three to choose from. We narrowed it down to just two. I would tell you, she was giddy. My mom was giddy. I was a little apprehensive. I was not so sure, but we had prayed for husbands, and you know, Kenya again was like, "No, Corey, we're gonna go to conferences. We're gonna pray. We're gonna trust God for these husbands." And me, I was just still honestly just trying to get closer to Christ at the time. I wasn't really thinking about husbands. But these three guys walk in our church, and it just so happened. I'm probably fast forwarding to our differences in our husbands, but Kenya met her Will. I met my Jonathan. My Jonathan was not my Jonathan for quite some time. I resisted courtship for a while.
Yes.
Kenya waited patiently. I don't know what you want to say about that.
I mean, the ironic thing is that, so Jonathan was organizing these group events, and he was very eager to have a wife. And so all of us would go originally, but I remember pretty much after the first event, Jonathan said to me, Will doesn't want to be involved because he wants to focus on Christ and he doesn't want to pursue. And Corey, well, he didn't know this at the time, but also Corey was kind of taking a step back. And, you know, it was kind of chaotic from that point. I think we did go out a few more times after that, but then it kind of ceased until the end of the year, like in December. We all of a sudden, I guess, Will decided he, from the encouragement, I know this now that it was from the encouragement of some of the men here, he decided he did want to be involved. And so I think we went out together as a group one more time after that, and then Corey shut it down.
Yeah, I was like... but I do think when we talk about what God was doing in our lives at that time, I think he was preparing us to be wise, but I think also helping us to learn to minister to one another in different places, right? So there were times when, you know, Kenya would come to me and say, Corey, I don't know why, you know, why isn't Will being more assertive? Why doesn't he, you know, step out like JT? And I'm over there like, look, I wish JT would chill. It's amazing how God did, right? He gave us two different men in our lives, and we were in two different positions, and we could minister to one another in different ways and pray for one another differently. And also I'll say that during that time, we benefited a lot from having older friends, more seasoned women in the church who could also provide a lot of guidance to us for how we go about courtship, how we, you know, befriend one another. I think that was such a blessing, because we had each other, but we also knew, just like Will said, Will had the older men in the church who befriended him, and we had older women in our family and in our church family as well who helped us through that phase. So.
Men, you said three men.
There were three. God just so had it that one of them left. One of them left. He left, and that was a blessing too, because I think that kind of threw off the relationship dynamic, because there was some uncertainty. Kenya knew she had her Will, and that was kind of just a matter of time. I was unsure, and so one left, and it was all God. But the other one is still a good friend of ours as well. So, yep. Then after those guys started dating, I mean, real talk, like, it was like 10 months. I feel like they were engaged like overnight, and I was like, great. Now what am I going to do? But they got married pretty in my timeline, pretty fast. But that changed our friendship a little bit.
Yes, it did.
It was hard for me, because I think while I was still trying to work things out with Jonathan, I still had my best friend, but my best friend now had a husband. And so now I'm like, yo, well, yeah, right now, you know, it's different for their relationship. But then now I'm like, okay, when I tell you something, are you going to tell Will, and it's going to get back to Jonathan, and it's going to get back to me, because I'm a problem. But, I, you know, it really was, once God softened my heart to it, you know, I really just picked up another best friend. And Will is a brother to me, just like King is my sister. And so those two, again, it's just amazing how God works. But those two were married, and they were actively praying for me and Jonathan, praying for us that we would have wisdom, praying that we would know God's will for our lives and if we were to be together. And that was such a delight. But I was not married, and we took a little bit of a dip to adjust. But, you know.
I think I do want to tell the story of how you just told me her one request was not to walk down the aisle with JT.
That is correct.
So they both were in our wedding, and Corey was a great maid of honor, but she did have that one request,
yeah.
And not even 2 years later, she walked down the aisle with him as his wife.
That's true. And I think I made that request like the night after they got engaged. Like, okay, this is nice and everything, but let me just tell you, don't have me walking down the aisle with Jonathan. And then then Jonathan and I were married. And again, I just bless God that even that Kenya and Will got married before us, but they were such a good encouragement to us as friends. As we were going through that process, they were just always there for us. And then came more stuff, kids, different trials.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Kenya and Will told us that they were pregnant with Abigail and Autumn, our goddaughters, and we were so happy for them, because they had been trying for some time. And then shortly after that, there were a few complications with the pregnancy. And I remember Kenya calling me. I used to have to travel a lot for my job. And I was out of town. I was in Florida. And she called me. And knowing each other as well as we did at the time, I instantly knew that something was wrong. And I think the first time you called and you, like, hung up. Or did you call and, like, say something? Like, I'm just checking on you, and then hung up. And I'm like, all right, something's wrong. And then I called her back, and she let me know that there were some complications with the pregnancy and that she was going to have to go to the hospital. And I just remember, I don't remember crying on the phone. But she recalls me, yes, fine. I cried. I know I cried, but I didn't remember crying on the phone because I was trying to be strong. But I wept with my friend in a way that I had never cried with her before. But I immediately had to get on the plane the next day and just be there. And that really set a precedent, because since then, We've been through quite a bit, but I didn't have all the answers. Obviously, I've never had any children, but I just knew I needed to be with my friend. And so I went as soon as I could to get home and go and be there. And then every time we were home, every weekend, we would just drive up to Ypsilanti and just sit in the hospital just to be there. I don't know what else.
Yeah. So that was a very scary time. There was a problem with Autumn, and there was a possibility of her being delivered at 1 pound. And I remember giving Corey all those details, and like she said, I expected her to be calm and to just say, you know, don't worry, it's okay. But she just broke down crying with me. And we knew that the 2 months that we were there at the hospital, Corey and JT were going through that trial with us, and they were there. So
I think it's interesting because I stayed up all night praying for them, but the one example that kept popping up in my mind, because I think Pastor had just preached on like Job or whatever, and he was talking about how his friends, at least they showed up. When they showed up, they kind of messed it all up. And I just remember thinking, Lord, I'm about to go to this hospital. I'm praying for my friend. I'm going to be there. Please don't let me mess it up. Don't let me be like Joe's friend. I'm going to be there, but I don't know what words to say. Give me the words to say. Give me the strength to be strong when my friend needs me. And he did. He answered our prayers. And, you know, shortly after that, fast forward a couple of years, we've been through a lot. We've been through deaths in our families. We've been through miscarriages, strokes, new babies, you know, all of those things. And the Lord has just been so good to mend our hearts together. It's a miracle, I think. We were talking about how to do this workshop and what things we want to say. If you really just take a step back and think about friendship, if there's any of us who can say we have a friend, a real friend, it's such a miracle. It's a miracle that I could love somebody other than myself. That I could care for somebody, you know, somebody else. It's a miracle, and it's such a blessing because so often, you know, when I can't be strong, she's strong for me, and vice versa. So, you ready for these practical points?
Oh, yes.
I do not. I'm the one who I have been through a couple of miscarriages.
Okay. So did that put a strain on your relationship? Because I know sometimes, you know, as you're doing things together, and then one gets something that, for whatever reason, the Lord is not allowing you to have.
Yeah. That's a great question, and The answer is no, but I'll tell you that it was something that we were both afraid of. And that's why the baby number 3 plot was there, was because shortly after I had miscarried for the first time, Kenya had to tell me she was pregnant. And we celebrate our friendiversary every year on April Fool's Day. Okay? April 1st. And this particular year we had planned to go and get massages. And she was just a couple weeks pregnant, just found out. And we went, it just so happened that we were going to be in separate rooms, but I go back, my masseuse called me back first, and I came back out and she was already out. I was like, oh, you must have finished up early. And she just sat there and with tears in her eyes, she said, I didn't want to tell you this way, but I'm pregnant with baby number 3. And I wept too, but I wept because I didn't ever want my friend to think that she would have to hide that from me. And so I can tell you that there are definitely times when the devil wants to get in and the flesh wants to bubble up and feel that way, but I just thank God that I've never had that in that instance. And we both have different things, right? There's probably, we minister to one another, we have Bible studies and stuff like that, and one of the things we talk about in our Bible study is it's very easy when we have two friends who are so close together but are going through different things, right? I'm sure a mom of 3, you know, with a husband at home and everything like that, would love to get a break and be able to go on a weekend getaway that my husband and I can enjoy. And so we have to minister to one another to be thankful in where we are. Right? But yes, it could have happened, but it hasn't. Anything else? Practical stuff. So we wanted to. It's not working. Steve, it's not working.
Battery?
Next slide. Yes, we wanted to kind of cover some practical takeaways and practical applications that, you know, the Lord put on our hearts. And again, please feel free to share anything else. but by way of cultivating friendships, choosing our friends, and how God works through friendship. When we think about our friendship and how it was cultivated, we've thought of Proverbs 17:17 about a friend loving at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Show up. Sometimes it's a matter of showing up. And again, it can be hard to work through and, you know, have friends or to establish friends in a day of social media and things like that, but get creative about it. Me and Kenya don't get to have as many just one-on-one days and one-on-one talks, but she will get a FaceTime alert from me at least twice a week for me to...
to talk to the kids.
Talk to my,
not
my
to
God
me.
Baby. But we think it's important to invest in time with your friends, and if there's things that they like to do, try to do it with them, and, you know, enjoy time with them. Transparency, confidentiality, and trust. Like I said, I thank God for the wisdom and discretion that he gave my friend, especially in those college days, because she was struggling, she was hurting, and I was adding to her hurt. I was contributing to it. But she also used the right amount of discretion and transparency not to share. Sometimes it's wise not to always share. And I was telling her, I was like, I'm glad you didn't. We were saying we're glad she didn't just share with my parents. But I told her I was glad she didn't share with hers either, because if they had known some of the things and just the way that I was in college, they probably wouldn't want me around. So I was thankful for her transparency when it was the two of us, but also that she kept a level of confidentiality and trust. Extending forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a big misconception about friendship. Like I said, that it always needs to be 50-50. Everything needs to be 50-50 at all times, and you always have to just affirm what I want and tell me you love me anyway, no matter what, and go along with everything. And that's not true. And not only is that not true, but there are going to be times when it's very lopsided. And I have friends here right now who I'm looking at y'all, and I can tell you there have been days where you have had to help lift me up. There have been days where Kenya's had to help lift me up, and I look forward to the opportunity to be able to be there for you. But don't think for 1 minute that it's always going to be 50-50, because it's not. It's not.
And forgiveness is definitely going to be necessary because we are sinners, and I think, of course, we want ease and comfort, but... friendship is about sacrifice, and it's definitely going to have to forgive each other.
And it's going to change as life does. But I think it's just like anything else. I remember when my husband and I were going through courtship, my aunt ministered to me in a lot of ways about just being willing. Are you willing? Are you willing? And I think a lot of that, the same thing applies in friendship. As life evolves, are you willing to continue to invest the time in your friend? Are you willing to be there for them? Are you willing to support them? And so that doesn't mean that it's always going to look the same. You saw the ups and downs and the peaks and valleys, but it will evolve. But bless God that he can keep you together through it as life changes. Then I definitely want to spend time talking about choosing friends. This is something that has really been on my heart. For myself, for my friends, and my family members, the Word of God, so we reference Proverbs 18:24, a band of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sits closer to, than a brother. One of the things that God's been working on me with is really going back to and believing in the sufficiency of His Word. And it's perfect. It's perfect in the amount of detail it gives, and it's perfect in the amount of detail that it withholds. And if you think about the book of Proverbs and all the warnings that, you know, that father has given to his son about the friends he keeps and the things that he does, I would just encourage everyone, when you are trying to figure out if you have a friend who should be in your life or a relationship that you should let go of, to go to God's Word and see what God's Word has to say about it. Pastor Hendricks mentioned that. It's perfect. It may not tell you the exact detail about the list of what your friends can and cannot do, but it tells you how you should look at your friends, how you should value your friendship, and the things you should look for in friends. It's perfect. So please go to God's Word, go to His Word often, even as it relates to choosing your friends.
Yeah, and Pastor Cook preached some sermons on friendship, and one thing he said that really stuck with me is friends are like elevators. They take you up or they take you down. And you can even see that looking at our journey line, our decisions about our friends really affected us. And so it's just, like you said, something to really go to the Word of God and look to God for answers on that.
Yeah. And our friends should encourage obedience. So if you are a friend to someone, remember to encourage them to be obedient. Encourage them to follow Christ. Encourage them to do the things that we should be doing. And look out for friends who don't, right? And really evaluate those friendships. If it's a friend that's not, right, you probably shouldn't be making a friend of that person. If it's a friend who you need to put a caveat, you know, on an asterisk next to the F, it's probably not a friend you should have. Or, you know, and that's something when I think about when I was frankly living in sin, when I was in college, there were a lot of friends that I had around me. I was not lonely by any stretch of the imagination. But yet, my parents never met any of those friends. And why was that? It was because the Lord would not let me. He knew. I had enough of a conscience still left to know that I couldn't take certain friends around my family, right? And that should be a warning sign. That should be a little light bulb or something should go off and says, okay, if I can't even bring these friends around my family, or if I got a caveat, or I got to warn them, or just hide them, or live a separate life, so probably not the friends that I should be keeping. Our best friends are the ones whose company makes us afraid to sin, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. God working through friendship.
Proverbs 27:6.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy.
Right. So one thing I can say about God working through friendship is you can't separate the story of God saving me and keeping me from the story of my friendships, right? Mm-hmm. And so, in this case, my friendship with Corey is what led to God saving me. But also, I think all of our friendships, sanctification comes into play, and God using those friendships to just draw us nearer to Himself or point out sin in our life. And that's a good thing, especially for what we're talking about, like a close or a bosom friend.
Yeah, I think about, again, when I was living in sin, if Kenya had supported that, where would I be? Where would I be? Right? If I didn't have a friend who said, no, I'll be here when you're ready, but no. All right, where would I be? And he uses our friends, and he uses us to as we grow up now, walking in our faith, someone who we can call and just ask, like, hey, tell me if I'm thinking about this the wrong way, right? What am I missing here? And we do that a lot. And then I think about the examples in the Bible. My favorite one was Nathan called out David, and because that one applies very well to our friendship. But I even think about David and Jonathan, how Jonathan was the heir to the throne, basically, right? And he did not care about it whatsoever. He was more concerned with his friend. And I think about that, and I know my friend here exemplifies that on a day-to-day basis. And that's something else you should think about. We heard great examples from the sermon earlier about how the world wants you to focus on these certain things. And it's the same thing with friendship. In friendship, most of the time, the world wants you to focus on yourself and what you're getting out of that friendship. And if you're not my friend, if you don't come to my party, right? You're not my friend if you don't, you know, compliment my shoes, right? But what kind of friend would Jonathan have been if he was just focused on being a king? Right? Where would David be? And it's a blessing. It's such a blessing. The ultimate friend. So again, obviously, Jesus Christ is the ultimate friend. And when we were thinking about our friendship, obviously neither one of us is Christ, but when you can think about it in that light, and even the highs and lows, right? We think about Jesus and his friends here on earth and how they let him down, right? Come and pray with me. They couldn't stay awake to pray. And sometimes that happens, but Jesus in his perfect love and compassion was always there ready to restore and save his friends and forgive his friends and sacrifice himself for his friends. The greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends.
Yeah, and of course our earthly friends fall short, right? But Christ is the ultimate friend. And even in our journey line, once we both entered into a relationship with Christ, our relationship was affected as well.
Yeah.
And so,
and I think it made us look at our friendship differently, right? It's no longer on the pedestal that it once was, right? If I had to kind of characterize one of the sins that so easily besets me, it is probably overvaluing and putting relationships, earthly relationships, you know, above Christ. And that was one of the things that he showed me when he drew me to him in that sermon on the narrow gate, right? When Pastor was giving examples of, you know, think of everything that you value most and everyone that you value most, and you can't take it with you through that narrow gate. It's so narrow. And for me, it was relationship after relationship after relationship. And so, you know, having to be able to compare it now, right, now that I know Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus, it helps me put earthly relationships and friendships in their proper place, in their perspective. And that's what he ultimately wants us to do. Our friendships should reflect him prayerfully, and it also should make us value him more as we grow in grace. So, what else, friend? Yes. They are the best of friends. They are the closest.
Yeah.
Yes. We give them a hard time because sometimes they're a little bit more cuddly than we are.
Than we are. Yeah.
I forgot this is very important. They are very, very the best of friends. That is true. That is true. If I could just say just a couple more things, like I said, I think I said this in the beginning, but for anyone who's a parent out there, please don't hesitate and don't shy away from encouraging your children and reminding them of the types of friends that they need to keep. I remember, again, being off in the foreign country, boy, but remember hearing my mom's voice and my dad's voice. Right, they probably, out of the 100% of the stuff that they said, maybe only like 30% got through, but the Lord used that 30%. And it played over in my mind again and again. Is this a real friend? Right? Is this a friend that God is going to use to draw you to him, or are you going to be pulled away from God? So don't hesitate to repeat to your children. And then also to those of you who have friends, challenge that question of whether or not they're friends. I've been doing a lot of thinking, obviously leading up to this workshop, about friendship and love. And the people who I say I love, how can I not share Jesus with them? Right? And if they're your friends, you should be. You should be. And whether it's the way you treat them and praying for them, you need to share Jesus with them. Mm-hmm. And if you have friends in your life who are pulling you away from Jesus, you got to let them go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it because you can't take them with you through that narrow gate. They can't go. They can't fit. So, anything else, dear lady? Yes.
So, I don't know, this is a question of thought, but I think it's interesting that how we have to be able to choose which friends can stay and which friends we have to know when to let go. But even just from the friendship timeline, we can see that real friendships go up and down and up mm-hmm. and down. So mm-hmm. when you're in your down point, or when there was a time where Kenya had friends and you knew those weren't your friends, or Corey had friends and you knew that those were not your friends, how do you know at that point when to say, I have to walk away from this friendship completely, or to say that that's a little bit and continue to pray for this friendship? Like, how do you know which ones need to just be cut off, or which ones you can still work on and you just need some time for
separation. I will say that I did not think Corey and I would have been friends again after, and you probably didn't either, right? So we still continue, or I still continue to pray for her and, you know, to think of her, but not so much focusing on, you know, is she going to be my friend, you know? So I don't.
You got
go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't have many friends. I actually probably don't, but too many friends, whatever. But Nick has, my husband, and we've been together for 20 years. But anyway, if God would take those ones away, those ones that don't belong in your life, he has had many friends that God has shown them that doesn't belong in his life. And he's the one who has taken those friends away from them.
Mm-hmm.
So now practically next, because we sometimes wouldn't understand, but it's all in the God has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good answer. And I think for me, when I had to deal with that, because once I was saved, there were a lot of friendships that I really needed a lot of help from God to know which ones I needed to try to cultivate and the ones I needed to let go of. And I would say, and I will tell you that I struggle with this sometimes because my mom is always telling me this, go to God, go to His Word. What does His Word say? But it's true. It's just that simple. And I think it helps to have other friends who you can trust, who you know are, following Christ and who will give you biblical examples of what you should keep. I remember shortly after I was saved, there was an older woman who was in our church, and I would just go and spend time with her, and I would have conversations with her about my old friends and the things that I was wrestling with in those relationships. And so she helped probe, right, and ask me questions. Well, is that friend a Christian? No. Is that friend, in the far country? Yes. Or, and so kind of helped me think through it biblically, the way that God would want me to think through it, and then going to His Word and literally comparing those friendships against God's Word and also my emotions related to those friendships. Because there were some friendships that I was just, it was unhealthy, that I just wanted them and I wouldn't let go. And God really showed me that I was clinging to them more than I was willing to cling to Him. And if that's ever the case, there's no question. It's a no-brainer. That's a good way to test it. But it's not easy. It's not easy. But I think it's good to have a circle of people who you know you can talk to about those friends and say, are these good things, are these friends that I should be having, or should I let them go? And I will tell you that some of those friends that I let go, same thing, the same way that it worked with Kenya and I, it was a good thing that I let them go. Because when God started working on their lives, they knew. It was like a light bulb went off in their head, and they could come back to me and say, Corey, I know why you had to step away. That was crazy with the stuff we were doing. And so you never know how God is going to use them and use you in that way. So it's a good question. Anything else?
I just want to say thank you, both of you, for sharing your story. And you just filling us with feeding us for things that we might be thinking about for our own children, our grandchildren, our granddaughters. If I have granddaughters that I wish to give me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that encouragement. Yes?
I have something to say. You both can make a friendship part. I admire that you were saying when Kenya and Bill were getting ready to be married about that friendship being challenged or being happy. I can say I have experienced that too when I first found my husband mm-hmm. that I had a close friend. I thought it was a close friend, but because that person was not happy for me. It hurt. I knew that wasn't a true friendship. So to say that, I just admire you saying that, yeah, you were happy for her. And I was like, how couldn't a person be happy for somebody that's going to be happy? So you have this mixture of friends. And so I have a dear sister friend that I've been friends for 58 years.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother told me, Linda, if you are blessed to have five people in your life, good friends, five that you can count on, and I can take you to the day. I have two. Mm-hmm. One that was here last night, that was 47 years. I have one that was here a couple of weeks ago, 50-something years, for my dad's funeral.
Wow.
And when she heard about my dad,
mm-hmm.
she said, Linda, I need to come and hold you and mm-hmm. hug you just mm-hmm. for a day or so. And I thought, God, thank you. I thought about two women. I said, God bless me. So awesome to play with these young women. To be married and share this with us is just awesome. I wish
like
he was saying that we had some more, not just being younger women, but more women here to understand the gift that God gives us of friendship.
Thank you. Yeah, it was interesting when Kenya was getting married because the Lord had to really work on me because at first I was like not happy and then the Holy Spirit was like, why are you mad? Like, is he a Christian? Is she a Christian? Yes. Are they equally yoked? Yes. Will you have your friend? Yes. He's not there to take her away. He and her being married was great for her. Me being married has been great for me, and it's been great for our friendship as well to have husbands. So
mm-hmm.
it's been a blessing. Anything else?
Yes. Yeah. Friends are few and far between.
That's right.
And friends are, as you get older, and life goes on, and you go this way, and they go that way. But when you come back together with that friend, it's like all that.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
Love and for the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a special thing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And then the last. That's your friend. I thought y'all been friends for a while. That's right. That's a blessing. And I would even say again, don't shy away from if you're younger, don't shy away from friendships with the older women. The Word of God says that the older women are there to help instruct you, right, and give their mm-hmm. wisdom to you. In the same way, if you're older, befriend some of the younger women. We need you. If I did not have older women in my life to share their wisdom with me and to minister to me in God's word, then I don't know where I would be. Because Kenya and I, we limping along in our own way, and we're at different points of the road at different times. But without those older friends there, you know, they were very helpful. So, well, anything else, friend?
I think that's it.
Well, thank you, ladies, for listening. We'll close our time in prayer. I hope that the Lord, I hope this is beneficial. So, dear Lord, we thank you for friendship. Lord, we thank you for this day, for this conference. We pray that you would continue to minister to us. Lord, we thank you for those of us who have friends. We thank you that you've given us the desire to have friends, Lord, and the ability to have friends. We pray that this time will be beneficial to those of us who were here and anyone else who listens to this recording of this workshop, that you would be glorified. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our ultimate friend. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, for those of us who don't know him, that we would get to know him and love him and worship him. And for those of us who do, that we would live lives and live out friendships that glorify him. We pray that you will continue to bless us for the duration of this conference. Pray for Pastor Hendricks and the other workshop speakers that their time will be blessed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.